Last week we kicked off a sermon series on getting personal and talking about how to build a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, what that means, some of the vernacular and some of the verbiage that we use here in the church. For those of us who grew up in it, we repeat this stuff a lot. And sometimes people who come in and weren't at Bible school or Sunday school when they were in kindergarten, all that stuff, sometimes they don't understand what we're saying. And then those of us sometimes don't even understand what we're saying. And it's kind of a trick sometimes. But when we wipe away the verbiage and you concentrate on what the Bible is telling you and how to build a relationship with Jesus Christ, we walk away with a better understanding, a better platform, and more solid footing on how we can take the steps and growth, handle the trials and tribulations of this world that are going to pound on you while you're making this progress, while you're making this journey. And sometimes you'll find that if you do it in the most appropriate manner, in the way that the Bible calls you to do it, that some of your greatest steps of growth and your greatest forms of growth and faith come when the world seems it's at its darkest. And that's not by happenstance. And that's why we're called to understand, you know, who Christ is, what he did for us. And then today we're going to concentrate on how he calls and accepts us. Because we truly need to understand how Christ views us. Okay? So here we are. This is going to be a very special service, all right? He makes us an heir. Now, we hear that, we sing that, but for those of us, unless anybody here has got some Jewish blood in them, that's a remarkable step. Because we are not, now listen to me, we are not naturally born heirs of the promise. That's biblical right there, okay? And for us to become an heir to God in his promise, there has to be a step, there has to be a process that comes outside the natural process to where we are accepted in that unnatural process, okay? And our whole relationship on Jesus Christ depends on this unnatural process. And I'll just spoil it from the very beginning with the title, is he adopted us in a way and so fully that in that process, the unnatural process becomes naturalized as if we were naturally born into the promise. There's no restrictions. There's no shades of gray. It's a full-on acceptance. Okay, so to understand this and what it's built on and how the Bible presents it to us in modern times, we need to understand the family makeup in Roman times. All right, so in a Roman family, there was law, okay, patria potestas. And what this means is that the power of the family, all power inside of a family rests with the figurehead. And the figurehead is what they call the paterfamilias. And that is the oldest male citizen, Roman citizen, that lives inside of that family. So that would be referred to as the father of the family. So whoever is the oldest residing Roman citizen becomes the father, what they call the paterfamilias. And he obtains and he is endowed with all the rights and powers of the process. The power of the father is what the actual meaning of patria potestas is. And this is the law that governed Roman families. Okay, now what's inside of this? What does this mean? Okay, what it basically means is that the father in ancient Rome possessed absolute power within this family. Now you say, well, what's absolute power? Is there anything that holds him back? And legally speaking, he could sell anybody inside the family. He could enslave anybody inside of the family. He could even go so far as to pronounce capital punishment on anybody inside the family. That was the power that resided on the oldest living male citizen inside of that family. This was the system. This is how they governed themselves. They did it on a very intimate level. They kept it within family bounds. And all the power was given to this male head figurehead. Okay? Paterfamilias is what they called it. This was a power that was resided into this person until their death. All right? And for those of you who have dealt with people who start to age and, you know, things, the blood flow is not so good, you can imagine some of the decisions that were made, right? Okay? Not talking to you, Dad. Not that you've made any crazy decisions. All right? Okay. So, and listen, I'm no good anyways. I'm the second born. I got to wait on Kelly to get around and for him to kick off. Could probably make that happen, but no. All right? And then this is something I talk to the high school kids about, all right? Because they don't understand the progress that has been made, okay, and what we call progress, right? Because, I mean, there's young, I've got a daughter. Okay, my firstborn is a daughter. Guess what she would be worth? Whatever I could get out of her back in those days, okay? Whatever endowment, how many camels, how much money you got, how many, you know, how pretty is she, what's going on, all right? I think she's worth that. Your daughter's not that pretty, all right? That's what's going on here. So sometimes when we're dealing in these old-time Bible stories, I'll ask the kids, like, wonder what the sister thought about that. Wonder what her say was. And at the end of the day, she didn't have a say. She probably was 14 years old, so she was probably already taken care of. She was probably some old guy's wife by now. That's just life back in this time, okay? So some of this stuff sounds rough, but this was the way that it was. All right, so now we have a problem if there is a family where they're not having male children. So what happens if you don't have a male child? How does this lineage, how does this law continue on inside of this family? Because here's the deal, all right? And this is not Aaron Phelps talking, so don't send me your emails and text messages, all right? But here's the deal. It's not being handed to a woman. That's just not going to happen, okay? It's just the way it is, all right? So they got to take some other steps. Some other systems got to be set up in case there's no male child to hand this enormous amount of power off to. And this is what they set up. It's what we refer to in our society today as adoption, bringing someone into your family. And this was done in a way so that the family lineage, the family bloodline, the family name, and the family power could take over. Because what you didn't want is some neighboring dude coming in, maybe a second born, and taking over and declaring himself king. Because then we'd have a legal, really big legal issue, all right? So if there was no male child, what they would do to hand this power off to, what they would do is they would set up and go through this system, which is called, in our day, what we refer to as adoption, okay? And adoption was a legally permanent act. The adopted son could never, ever, listen to me, because we are going to make a whole bunch of connections here, all right? The adopted son could under no circumstances, once this act, because it is a permanent legal act, could never, ever be disowned. This child could never be disowned. It couldn't be 30 days, I didn't like it, I need my money back kind of deal. Okay, this was a permanent legal action. Once that hit, done. Okay, and the adopted child was eternally secure in the name and in the power that was going to reside into this child. There was no restrictions. No, well, what? Well, this didn't happen. We're not naturally born. Nothing. All of that stripped away. All right? The adopted son immediately immediately receives all the rights as if they were naturally born to this family. No shades of any kind of technicality, nothing. Well, nothing. It's as if this child was naturally born into this family. This child became a person. And a lot of times, where they got these children from were from slaves. They were born slaves. They were orphaned. And can you imagine, to think about, in this time of history, and how rough and tough it was to make a living and to scratch out an existence, but even to have all the thing about no family, born enslaved, never given the choice of freedom. Could you imagine that? Here we are in America, the greatest country to ever be formed, where we live in all kinds of freedom in every kind of way. Is it possible for our minds to even comprehend what it's like to be born into total slavery? And yet at this time, that's what was happening to kids. And can you imagine a child who has that placed on them, and then to be taken by a family and to be naturalized, brought in, no shades of gray, no technicalities, brought in as if they were blood born into this family. They were a natural son, and they possessed all the rights, all the responsibilities, and all the privileges as if they were born a natural child. And they became a new person. So this is what was happening. So if you're second born like me, okay, and your dad was not good with money, maybe drank too much or ran off or something, and owed a bunch of people a lot of money, and then they'd come in, and then he sold you off to pay some debts, and now you're enslaved because of your father's debts. Now could you think about someone coming in and paying off your debts and bringing you in as a natural child and not ever having to have the burden of that debt that was born onto you ever put on you again? Could you imagine the freedom? Could you imagine the liberty and the life that you would turn from and go into? Wouldn't that be a blessing? Now that's what was happening. So all the rights from the previous family were lost. Also, all the obligations and debts and all the things, they were permanently abolished. Could never be placed back on you. It's as if they did not exist because that person no longer exists. You have been made new. You have been brought in as if you were born into this family. That was the ancient Roman culture that existed. And when Paul writes about how Jesus Christ views us and accepts us, he takes that model and he uses it as his illustration on how Jesus Christ accepts us. And he says, for as many of us were led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage. All of that has been abolished. If you ever had any kind of bondage, any kind of strain, any kind of enslavement put on you, it was as if it never existed, ever. It was totally, permanently abolished. Could never be brought back on you. And you never had to live in fear again. Because we received the spirit of, and there's the word, adoption. Because we now have the privilege to look at God the Father and call him our Father. Because we have been naturalized through an unnatural process. And it says there that the Spirit himself will come into us. We talked about that last week. How do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? It's when the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, speaks to you. Speaks the words of Christ, who's always operating in the will of God the Father. And because the Spirit lives in us, we now become natural-born children of God. And not just children who live there and will never, you know, just somebody who lives in the house, who gets to eat and have, you know, security and blankets and bed and all that stuff, but they are brought in as an heir, which means that they possess all the possessions that will come to them as if they were naturally born. Heirs of not just some rich dude, not just some nice family, but we become heirs of God. And we are joint heirs of Christ because he took our suffering from us and placed his righteousness on us. And it says that if we suffer with him, because we are co-heirs with him, then we will also be glorified together. Man, that's the lynch right there. We will be glorified with him forever. Nothing of the previous past will ever be held against you. Any of your natural stuff that's born on top of you, gone forever. You are made new, brought into a new family. We are placed inside of that promise made eons ago that we could never enjoy because of our bloodline. Now we are made and given the blood of Jesus Christ. We become immediate heirs. It says that when the fullness of time had come, adoption became available for us through Jesus Christ, because God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us, that we might receive, what is it? Adoption as sons. Permanent legal act. Nothing can ever be held against us again from our previous life. It all goes away. And because we are sons, God sent forth the Spirit and gives us now the privilege, gives us the legal ability to call him Father as if we are natural born. You see the new meaning of this verse now? Huh? It's not just crying out, God, Father. We're talking to a guy as if we are naturally born. He's our Father. That's the relationship there. You starting to pick up on the true meaning of these verses? It's amazing. And he just doesn't adopt us as kids, but as if we're naturally born. I will never leave you as an orphan. I will come to you, and in a little longer, the world will see me no more, and I will send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in you. I will speak to you through the Holy Spirit. You can trust his words because he's speaking my words given to him, and you can trust my words because I'm always operating in the will of God the Father. And because I lived and came and died for you, now you don't have to die, but will always live as if you're naturally born to me. And we are not withheld anything. We receive the rights of a natural born son. We are all sons of God through the faith of Jesus Christ. For all of you who are baptized and have been clothed with Christ, you are brought into Christ. He's bringing us into the family. There's no distinctions, no exclusions, no restrictions. It's if we're naturally born into that bloodline. And we are even, there's no slave. There's no distinction between male and female. You see that? You see what he's doing? See what Jesus Christ did for us? All that stuff we talked about earlier that kind of made some of you mad. See why I brought that up? Okay? Because none of that matters anymore. Because Jesus Christ accepts us as if we are naturally born his children. And if you belong to Christ, then guess what? You see that right there? That promise that was made eons ago, and God speaks, it happens. We enjoy that promise because of the work of Jesus Christ at Calvary. And we become heirs in all the good stuff that's inside of that promise. And because we are adopted, accepted, now we have a unique relationship with Jesus Christ. We are created a new person. And if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All the stuff that was hanging on you, all the debt, all the problems, all that have been wiped away as if you were never created, because you are a new creature born of the blood of Jesus Christ. And all the good stuff that is yet to come is promised to us because we are legal heirs of God the Father. And now we're all one big family. Remember that at the time, remember when we were separated from Christ? We had no citizenship to claim. We weren't born Jews. We weren't naturally born into any kind of promise. But because of God and the hope that he had for this world, he sent Jesus Christ And even though once we were far away, the only bridge that can make that divide that brings people to God is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And here's the promise. If you go through the Father, or through Jesus Christ to the Father, you become a naturalized son of God because you go through Jesus Christ. So at this time, I'm going to invite up a very, very special friend of mine. I'm going to invite up Allison Sisk. She's got some words for you. We're going to have a baby dedication this morning. And the Sisk family adopted a beautiful young lady a week or two ago. And it's been a wonderful process. And this is a wonderful family. And I'm just kind of amazed at the love that families show children and the way that they bring them in. And we've seen some of that with our own families here. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful process. And so she's going to tell you a little bit about her journey. I'm going to set you up here real quick, okay? If you want to be down there, let me bring you a microphone too, okay? Yeah, you can't see anybody, so hold on, I'll get you. So don't scare her, but make her welcome. Give her a hand here.
Thank you, love you. So I think most of you know me. I did go to church here as a little child with my grandparents. I visit here with them, and I remember Bible school. I remember going home and imitating the Phelps brothers. We like to sing like you guys. I never knew my journey in life would bring me back here, and as soon as I came back here, I just knew I was at home, and I'm back to imitating the Phelps brothers, but or trying to. So, but that journey led me here to my family, and I could not ask for a better church family. And because of this family, I felt comfortable to come here and talk to Aaron about this, and comfortable to share our story with you, because it's definitely a story we have to share. Several years ago, we talked about adopting, and it's not a decision that you just take lightly, of course. And so we thought about it for years, and he would want to, I wouldn't, then he would want to, and I would. You know, we went back and forth. So finally, we both came and said, let's go do this. So we looked to Colombia, and we wanted to bring a child from another country here. And when you looked at the kids from Colombia, you just couldn't help but be drawn to them and think, oh, we could help them. We could give them a better life. So we started the process, and it was ups and downs, ups and downs. And we never could get our paperwork completely finalized with the state of Illinois. Imagine that. So we finally decided, you know what, let's just put it back on hold. Well, then one day, the two of us, we were out just together at an amusement park, and we saw several families that you could tell they had adopted children. And we both looked at each other at the same time and said, do you notice that? I think it's time we start this journey again. And this time we both decided, let's try a domestic adoption. So we talked around to several friends, and they told us, oh, you're going to be waiting for years. Adoption is, you know, it's full of heartache, but also a blessing. So you know, I started praying and really gave it all to God. And I'm not good with waiting on things at all. And so one day, it was just a few months into our journey, I was on my way to the gym, and it was Halloween. And I was looking on Facebook, and I saw some other families that had adopted children. And I thought, wow, that's just so amazing. I can't wait to have a child, another child. We already have children, but another child. And so I just cried out to God in my car out loud. I said, God, please just send us a birth mom who will give us a child. 30 minutes later, in the middle of my gym class, I get a notification on my watch. And I kind of put it off. And after class, I went to go look at my phone. And it said, hey, this is kind of random. And I don't know how you feel about this, but are you looking to adopt? And I, of course, broke out in tears, and my friend Brandy was there with me, and she was crying, too. We were all so excited, and I said, yes, how did you know? Because I don't even know this girl. And she said, well, I talked to somebody, and who talked to somebody, and knew you were interested. But she said, I had a birth mom come to me, and I cannot adopt this baby, and I thought she would be a perfect fit for you. So about a month went by, and I talked to this girl several times, and she kept putting me off and just wanting to delay things. And the whole time, she didn't know how far along she was. So I thought we could have a baby anytime, or it could be 6 months. We don't know, but, you know, that's what you get with adoption. And so I finally meet this girl in December, and she came from a very troubled background, and she had already had other children, and she just knew she could not have this child. She could not care for the child. And so we met, and she said, okay, well, I immediately feel good about you. And I was so excited, but at the same time, you have to kind of back off and know this is in God's hands. And that night, we wound up in the ER with her with high blood pressure. And thank God everything was okay. Again, we prayed, and so she went home. And that began our journey together. I took her to doctor's appointments, and through this whole time, I kept praying, you know, let this be true. Let us take this baby home. But if not, I know I've planted a seed with this girl. And but you keep thinking, Lord, please don't let that be the only reason this is going on. And so finally in January, we went to the hospital. She had high blood pressure, and the baby was born and immediately was placed in our arms. I was in the delivery room. It was the most special moment. And anyway, we stayed at the hospital with the baby, and the mom said from the beginning she did not want to see the baby. If she saw the baby, everything would change, and she's afraid she'd want to take the baby home. So here I am in the hospital, 48 hours, I believe, of no sleep. Jamie had to go home to help on the farm or to tend to the farm. So I'm, again, Friday night, 11 o'clock, all by myself, ready to just crash, but, you know, you're still high on emotions. And I get a text from the birth mom. She said, I really want to see the baby. Well, you're thinking, oh, no. She said she wants to take the baby back home if she sees her. So immediately I texted all of my friends here, and I just said, please pray. I'm here alone. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Sorry. I was trying not to cry, but at the time I do a Bible study from Proverbs 31, and they were leading me through Psalms, and I'd gotten behind because of the adoption and because of no sleep, so I'd gotten behind, so I thought, you know what, maybe God has something for me right there that I need to read. So I opened up the app, and I started reading the Bible, and it went to Psalms where David was hiding in the cave, and he was hiding for his life. He had already been declared king, but everybody was trying to kill him at this time. And he still was able to praise Jesus and praise God, for everything while he was in this cave hiding for his life. And I thought, well, here I am, so scared. Why don't I just start praising God for what he's already done for us and what we've already gone through? Because our marriage, we've had lots of health problems, loss, and we've made it through so much. We can make it through this. And so it took me to this verse, and it's Proverbs 31:19. It says, how great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. You have lavished it on those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world. And I just knew, we are being blessed, and everyone has been watching this whole process. It's going to be okay. So she comes in, and she takes one look at Adeline. And she said, wow, do you feel that? I said, I do. There was just a peace that came over the room. And it just, you just knew it was God. And I knew it was going to be okay. And she looked at Adeline, and she said, she looks just like you. And that was just probably one of the best moments of my life, because I knew she was ours, and she did look just like us, and she belongs to our family. And so anyway, we got to take her home from the hospital, and we've had her since the moment she was born. And then finally, on July 12th, we got to go before the judge, and we are legally declared her parents. So.
So at this time, we're going to call the family and friends, whoever you want to come out, to come up on stage here. I'm going to also ask our deacons, ordained, anybody ordained here. So if the family come on. It's a powerful, powerful testimony. It's a powerful testimony of love. It's the living, breathing example of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be. So come on up, guys. So real quick, let's give this family a hand. So what we're here to do is set the direction and path of this child. There's all kinds of dedications in the Bible. Jesus Christ was dedicated. And there is a commitment being taken by this family today as we dedicate this child. And there's also a commitment being taken on by our church family towards this child and this family. Okay? So the commitment of the parents and the family is that you promise and take the commitment to be godly parents. You teach this child about Christ. You'll keep this child in church. You'll love this child unconditionally. You'll pray unceasingly for this child. You'll train this child to be childlike. You'll make your home a righteous, holy place, and you'll live righteous examples. And then the commitment of the church is that we will always preach the word. Regardless of what goes on in the world, we will preach the word here. We will be Timothy's, living, breathing witnesses and models and examples for this child. We will pray for this child and this family without ceasing. We will love this family unconditionally. We will love the child unconditionally. And we will forgive as Jesus forgives. We will accept the responsibility that is laid upon us to teach this child. And we will always, always be a church of love. So that's the commitment being taken here today. All right? This is Adeline James Sisk. As her mother said, she was born January the 3rd. She was legally adopted on the 12th of July. These are her loving parents, Jamie and Allison. We've got some grandparents. Raise your hand when I say it. Bonnie Sisk. She's not here today. Okay. And then we have Corey and Diane Henson. We've got some great grandparents here. Okay, Carolyn and Bonnie. And then her siblings, Zane couldn't make it, and we got Jake, and we got JC. Okay? All right, take a deep breath, because you're going to get overloaded here for a second, all right? Okay, it's not over. I love this. When we do baby dedications, I'll text the mom and say, hey, can you send me some pictures? And for the next 30 minutes, I get. Like, I couldn't decide. I've never seen a baby smile so much. I never have. She stops by my office all the time, and she just says, and of course, I'm there, so that might be why. Already helping on the farm, on the tractor. Okay, and there is that not a wonderful sight right there? That's it. That's what I was preaching about right there. The previous life is gone. Naturalized. just like we are naturalized through Christ. So I'm going to have the family kind of tighten up here a little bit together, if you would, please, have our ordained authorities. I'm going to ask my Uncle Mike, if he would, please, to say a prayer over this child, this family, and our church as we live up to the commitments that we've made today.
Let's bow our heads, please. Lord, we're here in accordance with your will, Lord. We know that you not only taught us these principles we're talking about, Lord, but you modeled them for the example of this, Lord. You left heaven and came down to a 14-year-old girl, Lord, in a dusty village of no significance, no name at all. And your Holy Spirit impregnated her with your spirit, Lord, and you became the Son of God. And that manger, Lord, and 8 days later, Lord, you were dedicated to the temple, Lord, and those promises made, Lord, by the people there that you were going to be an offense to people, Lord, and yet you were the light of the world. And you led by example, Lord, about how we should treat our families, how we should live our lives. We come to this dedication, Lord, knowing that it's such an awesome responsibility to these parents, Lord, who've taken on that awesome lifelong process of trying to rear a human being in your spirit and your love. We know that they need strength, Lord. There'll be times of disappointment. There'll be times of discouragement, times of aloneness. But we know that you said you would be with us through the darkest valleys, Lord, even to the end of the age. We claim those promises, Lord, and we as a church, we hope we lift them up, Lord, and wrap our arms around them, Lord, and know that as family members, Lord, we share in their joys and their sorrows. We take them under our wing, Lord, and we do that with each other, Lord, because you ordain that as your church, Lord, that we are to be one with you. We ask you to bless these families, Lord, not just the parents, Lord, but the grandparents and nephews and nieces, Lord, knowing that we're all connected. You said in Romans, no one lives to himself, no one dies to himself. We know that that's true, Lord, especially as Christians, we are part of your family of God. And we now know in part, but we know that when we see your face, Lord, we'll know in full. Be with this family, bless this child, Lord. What powers of energy these children have, Lord, knowing that they can become great soldiers of you, Lord. So bless her little life, Lord, and help us encourage any way we can. And we want to say thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of this, Lord. And thank you for knowing that your love is pervasive all over the world. These things we ask in your Son, Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. At high school, I became the principal there in Gallatin County. He was in my office so much, I wanted to make him the assistant. He was such a rat. No, I'm kidding. Bless your, and Bonnie was a part-time secretary, but these are special people, Jamie. Bless your heart.
What we're seeing and witnessing today is unconditional love. This is probably one of the most stated verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world so much that he gave his, in a little bit of Bible knowledge here, only begotten. Begotten in the Bible means born of a promise. And the promise is that he would go to the cross to die for every one of us so that we could become naturalized citizens, naturalized heirs, naturalized children to God the Father, and take part of the promise that he made so many years ago. And all the restrictions of this life that previous fell upon us, all the debts that we owe before our conversion have been wiped away. They exist no longer. And it is because of the love of God who sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And it just doesn't stop. And here's where I want to have the rubber meet the road, so to speak here, okay? Love cannot exist in theory, okay? Love is an action word. God loved us so much that the way that he showed his love to us is that even though we were covered in the mire and muck of our sins, Christ still was willing to die for us. He found us enslaved. He brought us out and made us as if we were born directly from him. Heirs to all the salvation, heirs to all the promises that he's ever made. So I'm asking you to stand this morning. And I want you to take some internal stock and audit this morning. And I want you to think about, have I ever really pondered and took the time to truly understand how Jesus Christ views us? How he found us in such a lowly state, but yet so willingly died for us to give us all the privileges of the promise that God made so many years ago. And they were promises that we were not included in. But because of Jesus Christ so willingly adopting us and wiping away all the previous life away from us, we now are heirs to all of his promises, including eternal life in heaven. And what we need to do today is to take stock on, are we a loving church? Are we a loving people? Are we a loving home? You saw the commitments up there. I have children of my own. Am I living up? We dedicated both of our children right on that same stage right there years ago. Am I still living up to that commitment? And I had grandparents up there with me and my brother and all that. Is everybody still living up to the commitments that we've made so many times up there with so many kids? Are we living up to that commitment as a church? Are we living up to that commitment as a people? So I want to ask you this morning, we come to the altar for a lot of reasons. If God's laying something on your heart this morning, to come up and give it to him and present yourself as a tool to be used by him for the rest of your life. And if you've got something looking you in the face and you need some help, let's come up and let's pray that God will fill you with peace and the encouragement to get through it, and to be able to handle it in a way that is pleasing to him and is a righteous example to others. And if you got the world by the string and you couldn't have it any better, come up and give God all the glory for the victories in your life. And then here's one last thing. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all this conversation this morning was in vain. It was just in theory. So come up and receive the adoption into his family and be naturalized heirs to God the Father. Open up the altars to you this morning.